بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في شأن حبيبه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, on one occasion a person came to the great learned companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he asked him for nasiha, he asked him for advice. Because this was something that was very prevalent in the past. People will go to the ulama, sit with them, sit in their company, learn from them, benefit from them, take advice from them. And then it was not just for the sake of taking or just, something that was a customary practice to seek advice. But they were very serious about the advices they took, and it was with the intention of listening and understanding and practicing and then conveying. This is the manner in which the advice was taken by the people from the ulama in the past. Today, it is very sad that 52 Fridays in the year, we are listening to advices, but unfortunately, it is not being taken with the seriousness that it's supposed to be taken. It is hardly remembered. Then if it's not remembered, how will it be even practiced? And if it's not practiced, how will it be conveyed? So that is our state of affairs today, that we just hear, like they say, in from one ear and out from the other ear. That is our state of affairs today. Allah forgive us. We are not listening for the sake of absorbing, understanding and practicing. It is just to say, well, yeah, I heard. But did we hear with the intention of practicing? Because Allah Ta'ala says that even the people who are the enemies, they used to say, sami'na, sami'na, we heard. But then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that it was sami'na wa asayna, we hear and we don't follow. We disobey. But when it comes to the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. So therefore, when the people of the past went to the pious scholars, the ulama, they sat in their company to benefit from them, to learn from them. Which is something that is dying in our midst now. Everybody feels that I can go on Google and I can go on ChatGPT, on AI, and I can get all the answers I want. What must I go and sit with an alim? But will you gain the qualities from these technological platforms? Will you get taqwa from there? Will you get all the qualities of humility and, you know, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from ChatGPT and Google? It's impossible. It will never happen. That can only happen from heart to heart. But it is the state of affairs today that there is no interest in visiting the ulama, sitting with them, learning from them. Every person thinks, I am an authority now. I just got my ChatGPT, I got my Google, I got my AI, I'll get my answers. Or I'll get my answers from YouTube. I will go online and I will hear what is being said there. But is that for our context? Is that for our situation? Or is it for some other context? Therefore, knowledge can never be acquired but through the original, traditional method of sitting in the company of the ulama, learning from them, and listening from them, understanding from them. And that past, they would be there, they would sit there in the company, they would ask for advices. And it was not just for the sake of taking advice, but it was with the intention of putting into practice. Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding and the realization. Now we find that this person goes to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says that I have come to you for advice, give me advice. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu gives him six advices, six. But before we speak about these advices, just a little bit about the life of this great companion, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As we know, he is the son of Abbas. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the beloved uncle of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed many sons, and one of his sons was Abdullah. So he was the cousin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he was much younger in age. Because at the time when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, then he could have been just about of age at that time, because he was born 3 years before the Hijrah. The duration of the Hijrah after Hijrah was 10 years. So let's add 13 years. He was only 13 years old when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. But in that time, as a young boy, as a young child, it's amazing the love he had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his eagerness to learn the ways of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the practices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his aunt was married to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was one of the Azwaj Mutahharat. So he would take permission that on the night when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be staying by his aunt, he would take permission and he would spend the night in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, watching and observing and learning and serving. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his eagerness, his desire as a young boy, that degree and desire for learning, acquiring. That is how the great leaders of the Ummah were created, my dear brothers. When they were little children already, the seeds were planted then. We can't plant the seed when a person is already in the teenagers or beyond that age. The seeds are planted in the childhood and then they are watered. And that is when that great tree of knowledge and benefit grows in the Ummah. And so we find that from that young age, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had this great desire to learn, and he would spend the nights and he would be in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would memorize Quran. He was one of those six people that had memorized Quran in the lifetime of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would have this desire. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this desire in him, and he made a very beautiful and special dua for him. What dua for he made for him? Allahumma faqihu fid din wa'allimhu ta'wil. Allahumma faqihu fid din. Oh Allah, give him the deep understanding of Islam. Give him the deep understanding, the deep knowledge of Islam. وَعَلِّمْهُ التَّأْوِيلِ. O Allah, teach him the science of the interpretation or the tafsir of Quran. The result of this beautiful dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was such, my dear brothers, that he got three titles from the Ummah. Three titles. He was known as Hibrul Ummah. Hibrul Ummah means the great alim and scholar of this Ummah. And he got another title of Bahrul Ulum, the ocean of knowledge. And the third title that was given to him was Tarjumanul Quran, the commentator of Quran. Three titles he got due to the beautiful dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam for him. And so it is known that his desire and quest for knowledge was such that even after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he would go to the senior Sahaba and he would go and learn from them what they learned from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would go and sit outside the door of a Sahabi. He would put his shawl on the ground and he would wait outside the door for that Sahabi to come out. When that Sahabi came out, he would stand up and greet him. That Sahabi would say, "Oh, cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why, what happened? What brings you here?" He says, "No, I have only come to acquire some knowledge from that which you learned from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Sahaba would say, "O cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why didn't you knock at the door? We would have called you inside and we would have been happy for you to come in the house." He says, "No, I am in need. I am desirous. I am needy of knowledge. Therefore, it is right for me to wait outside and not to disturb you." This was the etiquette and the adab with which he acquired knowledge, and he was very, very passionate about acquiring knowledge. He had deep knowledge of tafsir. He was a faqih of Medina. He was a mufti of fatawa and of the fiqh rulings. And he also conveyed 1,000 hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this ummah. He was such a person, though he was a youngster. He was only about 16 years of age. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to invite him to the, like the council, the senior council, or what we could call the parliament of that time. All the senior sahaba would be there. And then Hazrat Umar would call him, 16-year-old boy is coming there. And some sahaba also felt that why is Sayyidina Umar calling such a youngster here, that he is fit to be the age of our children? Why is he sitting with the elders? And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu perceived this. So one day, out of the blue, he asked them tafsir of one ayat, and nobody could give the correct tafsir. Till at the end, he turned to Abdullah bin Abbas and he said, "Oh, Ibn Abbas, you tell us about the tafsir of this ayah." And Abdullah bin Abbas gave such a tafsir that the senior sahaba acknowledged his learnedness and his scholarship, and they acknowledged that this is a very learned young man. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, they used to say that he has a young body, but an old mind of an old person, elder person, yet his body is a body of a youngster. So had granted him this degree of acceptance and leadership already at such a young age. And then in the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the governor of Basra, and he was a special advisor, the wazir of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was a person of great fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had high level of taqwa. He used to cry so much out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he became blind in the process. He actually lost his vision because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a person of great piety, ibadah, generosity, beautiful qualities. And he was a teacher to great, great ulama of this ummah. Senior ulama of this ummah were his students. And then in 68 of Hijrah, he passed away in Taif. That means at the age of 71, he passed away in Taif, and he's buried there. and a big, beautiful masjid has been built there. It is called Jami Ibn Abbas. Alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity of visiting that masjid too. His qabr is there too. And there is a very beautiful library there in Taif that is called Jami Ibn Abbas. May Allah grant us to visit Taif too. Because it's a place where our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went there to invite the people. And this great Sahabi Abdullah bin Abbas's qabr is there. So this is that personality, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asked him for advice and he gave him 6 advices. Now these advices, these 6 points we could call them, they are very simple advices but very, very deep and very profound advices. So he told him, the first advice he told him is that you must have full faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises and all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken responsibility for, you must have full faith in that. Now what has Allah ta'ala taken responsibility? Allah has taken the first responsibility is the responsibility of our provisions, our sustenance. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةِ لَاللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility of our risk and our sustenance. We must have full faith, full yaqeen, full tawakkul, full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility of providing our risk and our sustenance. And we must remember that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا إِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي, I will treat my servants according to their opinion of me. If their opinion is, I am their provider and sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill that opinion and He will make sure He gives us our risk as is His promise. But if we doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, which cannot be, a mu'min cannot doubt, but if we are hesitating and we don't have yaqeen that Allah is my provider, that means that our Allah is like that, then Allah will treat us like that. Therefore, we must have a very strong opinion and a very good opinion regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all matters, whether it is Allah's risk and provision, whether it is Allah's maghfirat and forgiveness, whether it is Allah's mercy and kindness. We must always have a very strong and good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the first of the 6 advices that he gave him. The second advice that he gave to him is that complete all the fara'is in the right time. Make sure whatever fara'is and obligations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, we must complete it in its right time. And therefore, a mu'min is always conscious of time. 2 things a mu'min is always conscious of. That is the clock and the calendar. The clock and the calendar. A mu'min's gazes are always on 2 things. The clock and the calendar. He's always watching the clock. Now, I have to watch the clock because I mustn't go over the time. Right. So you have to keep an eye on the clock all the time. Right? So mu'min keeps an eye on the clock and on the calendar. Calendar to see what Islamic date it is, what's coming up now, this month, what is the important dates, what are the important things to be done. Like for example, we are already now in the month of Jumada Thaniya. And next thing is going to be Rajab and Shaban and Ramadan. It's coming fast, my dear brothers. It's coming very quick. So how are we going to prepare ourselves for Rajab, Shaban and Ramadan? These are the reasons why we must always keep our eyes on the clock and the calendar. So that's the second advice. And the third advice he said to him is, keep your tongue busy with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As much as possible, let us be constantly in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And zikr also with the tongue, so that our tongue is also busy with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are 2 great benefits. Number 1, is that we will be clocking reward and sawab all the time. Every minute that we are in zikr of Allah, our tongue is busy, we are clocking sawab, our meter of sawab is running, and every word of zikr is big reward in akhirah. Subhanallah, gharsun fil jannah, alhamdulillah, gharsun fil jannah, la ilaha illallah, gharsun fil jannah, Allahu akbar, gharsun fil jannah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, kanzum min kunuzil jannah, Allahu akbar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that subhanallah is a tree in jannah, alhamdulillah is a tree in jannah, and Allahu akbar and la ilaha illallah, these are all trees in jannah, la hawla wa la quwwata is a treasure from the treasures of jannah. So when we keep our tongue busy with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are planting trees in Jannah, we are building palaces in Jannah, and we are adorning and we are decorating our Jannah. And the second benefit of being in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we will be protected from useless talk and sinful talk. Because now we're busy with zikr, so there's no time for all this useless talks. So these are the benefits of being constantly in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third advice, fourth advice that he gave him is, do not obey the shaitan, because the shaitan is jealous of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why we must always be very on guard against the shaitan. Because the shaitan comes in a very, very sly way and tries to mislead us and fills our minds with all kinds of doubts and evil thoughts and ideas, and tries to mislead us and tries to deprive us of lot of rewards. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in the Quran too, that the shaitan has sworn an oath in front of Allah that I will mislead man. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُوا أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shaitan swore an oath in front of Allah. He says, oh Allah, I will go to the left and right, front and back, every direction. I'm going to go and mislead man. And I will mislead them so much that you will find that they will not even be grateful to you. They won't even have the quality of shukr to you. Because the whole time they will be complaining about this, that and the other. And as a result of which they will not make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth advice he gave him is, don't engage in worldly things that will be a cause of harm to your akhirah. So now, we should not be engaged in those things of the world that will harm our akhirah. Any action, any deed, any doing, any activity that is going to cause harm to our akhirah, we must stay away from that. We must be very careful not to indulge in those things. That means that we must bring priority in our life. Prioritize the important things in our life. What is important, give that importance, make that a priority. Don't make the useless things and frivolous things of this world a priority. Today, unfortunately, we find that we have made these things a priority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, that we find people will spend hours and hours and hours of their life on their phones, and they are scrolling, and they're just going, you know, scrolling mindlessly from one thing to another, and they are just surfing, and they are just scrolling, and they are spending hours of their time in these things, or they are gaming online, playing games online for hours on end. Salah time comes and goes, time for work, time for study, everything is gone out of the window. Why? Because such a obsession with this phone, with these devices, that it has blinded us to our priorities in life, and there's no time for the priorities of life. And Allah have mercy, worse than this now is that there has been windows that have been opened on these platforms for indulging in major, major sins like gambling. Online gambling has become one of the worst, 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 you know, curses on The population of the world, the people of our country are spending trillions of dollars on online gambling. And sad to say, my dear brothers, even the Muslims are involved in it. And online gambling comes in different formats. One is the normal, you see, people are watching whatever I hear, they say they're watching the game. Half time, the bets are coming up. Bet now, what will be the score at the end of the game? What's going to be the score? Who's going to score? And people are betting while these things are happening online. And not realizing where this thing is going to take us, is going to ruin our dunya and akhirah too. And we also find that there are other forms, like for example, you know, we have forex trading now. A lot of our youngsters, what you do? No, I'm trading currencies. Now, is it compliant with the Sharia, first of all, the way you're trading or not? Have we found out the fatwa? Have we taken the ruling? Or is just, you know, it's like betting on the rise and fall and the escalation or whatever of the currencies. Now, this is also can be considered as a form of betting. Go ask the ulama, go ask the mufti sahab for the fatwa. I'm not giving a fatwa here at Jummah time. But I'm saying that be very careful, because this can also be constituted as a form of gambling. And then the sixth advice on which I end, and the sixth advice, a beautiful advice, always be a well-wisher of the Muslims. Be a well-wisher of the Muslims, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, ad-deen an-nasiha, and an-nushu li-kulli muslimin. Sahaba took bayat on the hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this condition, that I will always be a well-wisher for the Muslims. I will always do my best to guard the Muslims, protect the Muslims, guide the Muslims, and make dua for the Muslims and be worried and concerned about the welfare of the Muslims, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in one hadith sharif, man lam yahtamma bi umur al muslimina falaysa minna, the person who does not concern himself with the issues of the Muslims and the matters of the Muslims and the welfare and the well-being and the advancement and the progress of the Muslims, falaysa minna, this person does not belong to us, because a Muslim has feelings for Muslims. A Muslim is concerned about Muslims. A Muslim wishes well for the Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. That is beautiful six advisors of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We follow these advisors and we look at the life of this great companion and we take inspiration from there and we try to steer our children in this direction so that our children can also become great, great ulama and great personalities in the service of Deenul Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.